When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Man, there's a lot going on here on a Tuesday. Limits. We are back at the home office after a wonderful day at Diamond Run. And there's an obvious place to start. We're going to get to the Steelers soon enough. Mike Tomlin coming up later on the show, his weekly news conference coming off. And I was very complimentary of him for the first 3 weeks. I think he's coming off when you actually sit down and look at it and review it. Upon further review, one of the worst coaching performances maybe of his career. I'm serious. I know there have been losses to worse teams and things like that, but when you actually break down that game, it's just mind-blowing. Like, what was he doing? But we start today with the death of Pete Rose. Passes at 83 years old, and I've been putting a lot of thought into this last night and this morning. City Limits, I don't know what your knowledge is of Rose. Obviously, you never saw him play. I don't even think you ever saw him manage or bet on games when he was managing. But to me, there's three things that stand out about Pete Rose. One is the historic, mind-boggling production as a hitter. He's the all-time singles hitter. You know what I mean? And we live in an age where things are measured very differently and where batting average is sort of minimized. But that's as basic as it gets in baseball, in softball for girls when you're growing up, is can you get a hit? Can you walk up there and get a hit? Nobody wants to walk. I don't care what Moneyball said. I realize a walk's as good as a hit. I get it. On-base percentage became a big thing. OPS became a big thing. OPS plus, and everybody loves home runs, and I get that. I get all of that. But in the very basic act of getting a base hit, usually a line drive, Pete Rose is the all-time king. 10 200-hit seasons. 10 of them. 10. In order to eclipse his all-time hits mark, which is 4,000 plus a lot, I was reading you could have 20 200-hit seasons and still have a ways to go to chase that record.
It's unreal.
It's ridiculous. So that's the first thing that comes up with Pete Rose for me is, can you get a hit off that pitcher? Nobody could say, yes, I can, and yes, I did, more than Pete Rose in the history of baseball. Then we get to him being the quintessential for me, and I was asked in my Post-Gazette mailbag this week. The coffee is delicious today, limits I might add. You don't drink coffee, do you?
I do not. You indulge in an extra cup of coffee for me every day, though.
He's the quintessential, hate him if he's on the other team, want him on your team guy. I got asked many times, like, what was your feeling on Pete Rose as a player? Because I watched him play. And I hated him in the sporting sense because I wanted him on my team, which was the Pirates as a kid. He's the all-timer in that category that we always talk about and put players under. We have for years. You hate him on the other team, but you want him on your team. That's Pete Rose. Why? Because he played with that sort of intensity of the guy in the pickup basketball game that you want to punch in the face because he's diving for loose balls. Even when they're already so far out of bounds, he has no chance to get it. You know, he's literally Charlie Hustle, you know, and it's annoying if he's on the other team. His whole demeanor, his whole persona, his whole style of play, you want to punch him. He was that guy, but you wanted him on your team. And then, of course, number three is he's right up there in the top five and maybe the top two or three in American sports history as famous to infamous athlete, going from famous to infamous. Who else? I mean, O.J. Simpson. Yeah. O.J. Simpson's number one on the list for much more, like not even in the same realm of life category. I mean, when you get down to it, really, betting on baseball, who gives a crap? It's against, of course, the sanctity of the game, but it's not a human life or multiple human lives. So those are on obviously very, very different levels. But in terms of going from famous to infamous, there's O.J. Simpson one, and I think there's Pete Rose two in American sports history. You could bring up Michael Vick, maybe. You could bring up Mike Tyson. There have been others. I think it goes O.J. on a level all his own, and then Pete Rose, famous to infamous athletes of all time. And I guess the fourth thing is he's also the all-time, was he the first classic radio sports topic? Does Pete Rose belong in the Hall of
Fame?
That's
a great question.
It's sort of old school sports talk radio. Here's the number. Let's talk about this. 412, in this case, 928-9370.
They would light up the show for the whole entire day.
That's the way it used to be. Here's the topic. Let's roll. Let's talk. Sometimes we delve back into that, especially after Steeler games, but not very often anymore. But he's the all-time topic. Does Pete Rose belong in the Hall of Fame? They said it was a lifetime ban, limits. Does that mean that now that he has passed, that he should go in? Should he have been in anyway? Thoughts?
I think he should be in. I think what you did on the field is what should matter. What Pete Rose did is the all-time hits leader, the all-time leader in games played, the all-time leader in plate appearances, the all-time leader in at-bat. You can go on. And the quality of a player that he was, as you mentioned, at the 10-200 hit season, nobody's going to even get close. Who knows if people are going to even get to 3,000 hits at this point or how many will.
Yeah.
I understand everything that he did. He didn't bet on his own team. Should what Pete Rose did as a manager factor into what he was as a player? I don't think it should.
I agree with you. I agree with every syllable, literally this time, that you just said. It should be what you did as a player, period. That's it. It becomes very, very complicated if you take it beyond that. And I realize that Pete Rose broke as important a rule as there is in baseball, the sanctity of the game, by betting on his own team when he was a manager. And, you know, the cover-up's always at least as bad as the crime, usually worse. He lied about that for years and years. Lied about it. But the criterion should be what you did as a player, period. That's it. Now that he's passed, should he be inducted? I say yes. I mean, if you take that literally, a lifetime ban, he has passed away. He should go in now. He should have been in as a player. And that's not excusing one bit of what he did as a manager, but God knows people in the Baseball Hall of Fame have done way worse in real life than Pete Rose did managing the Reds, and they remained in the Hall of Fame. Like I said, man, it gets very complicated. And I don't know if people are aware of it, but the Football Hall of Fame has a morals clause of its own. That was revealed to us when Gary Myers came on here and said that Terrell Owens was basically kept out for a number of years of the Pro Football Hall of Fame because the Hall of Fame itself said basically what you do, how you act in the locker room and things like that count, which I never knew. And Myers' thought was that Antonio Brown could be kept out because of that. And once you open that can of worms, how do you define that? How do you define it? Who do you keep out? Who do you keep in? There are some extremely unsavory characters from the history of all sports. In OJ's case, a lot of people think a literal murderer, but he's still in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And really, that just keeps it simple. It just keeps it very simple. As you said, City Limits, what did you do on the baseball field as a player? That's how I always felt. And that, I probably did that topic in 2002 when I was doing my little one-hour show on a radio station from a distant galaxy a long ways away. Remember ESPN 1250?
Yes.
Wonder Twin? Did you listen to that?
Occasionally I did.
What year were you born?
Because I was still,
You were born in 01?
Yes. Because that would have been very early days of me listening to radio.
Well, that was probably a topic. When did sports talk radio begin in its
current form? Well, 2010 here.
No, I mean actually as a medium.
Late 90s in New York?
Maybe earlier than that.
Yeah,
mid-90s. It might have been one of the first topics ever brought up. And we've moved away from it, thankfully.
Well, and the other thing...
But that's what I think of. All those things... When I think of Pete Rose.
And he did, I don't know if it's any caveat to this, he bet on his team to win. It's not like he bet on his team to lose every night and was factoring into...
Well, isn't there still some question about that, or no?
Well, no. Rose said in his memoir, I bet on my own team to win.
Yeah, that's what he said. He wasn't exactly known as the most truthful sort.
Also, I mean, the fact that all sports now these days are so in bed with betting... And all the promos that you see on every broadcast of games now, there's betting ads at the ballpark, at the football facility, at games, at hockey games. I mean, Bet Rivers has a sports book inside PPG Paints Arena. Like, betting has become so prevalent now. And I'm not saying that managers and players should be allowed to bet on the games that they are a part in. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But don't you think that what Pete Rose did as a member of the Cincinnati Reds and of the Philadelphia Phillies on the field is worthy enough quality-wise of being in? I just do.
That's the bottom line for me. But we've now seen the passing of one of the most notable athletes, and again, famous to infamous in American sports history. That's how big a deal, for better or worse, Pete Rose was.
O.J. Simpson and Pete Rose both dying this year.
Yeah.
How about that?
So we move on. Let's move on to this, because this is the big topic of the week here, Limits. And that is Adam Schefter says Russell Wilson expected to be healthy this week. So let's start there. I'm a little bit surprised. Let's put it this way. I'll be surprised if Mike Tomlin says that. I'll be surprised if he says Russell Wilson's a full go. We'll see how the practice week goes. But man, it's out there from Schefter at least. So what will Tomlin say at the beginning of his news conference here, which we will carry on 93.7 The Fan beginning at noon? This is what Schefter said. I think this was yesterday on Afternoon Sports Center. And I quote, "This is a Sunday night game against the Dallas Cowboys in which Russell Wilson finally was expected to be over that calf injury and expected to play. So if Russell Wilson is not playing on Sunday night," Schefter says, "that would tell you that Justin Fields, for the time being, has wrestled away the starting quarterback job from Russell Wilson." And Schefter added that people around the league, quote, "believe it will be tough to bench Fields." So let me give you the second quote. Are you ready for that, my little limitless
wonder?
I'm
ready for it.
Fields has certainly risen to the occasion. And if Tomlin decides to keep riding Fields, hard to imagine he's going to sit down a guy who's gotten better, who's 3-1, who's played well, who does have the support of the team right now. Tomlin will have Russell Wilson as an option at some point in time, but I think it would be a surprise if Justin Fields isn't starting Sunday night. Here we go, Limits. If you've been waiting for this thing to come to a head, this could be the week. Then again, Tomlin could very, very easily squelch this by saying today it's status quo with Russell Wilson. We'll see how it goes. Now, if he says it's status quo and that Wilson will be limited tomorrow and all that, and it's not true, like Russ really is ready now, then I imagine word will filter out, maybe through Russell's agent, maybe something like that, that no, Russell's ready to go here. He's ready to go. Either way, we're getting very, very close, I think, to this thing coming to a head, and it's going to be fascinating to see how Mike Tomlin handles this, starting with his opening soliloquy today at the news conference. That's what will set all the other wheels in motion. Now, is it possible that he'll simply say, again, you know, Russ, it's status quo. He'll be limited Wednesday. We'll let his participation and the quality of that participation be our guide, and that everything will be quiet this week and it'll simply be Fields again. Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. What happened to Russell Wilson, by the way, with the blocking sled? Did the blocking sled come to life like Lawrence Taylor and attack him? What the hell happened?
TJ Watt was actually morphed into the blocking sled.
What? This reminds me of a long ago Penguin, Marty Straka, who fell victim to a weight machine. A weight machine fell on him.
Remember when Ben couldn't use the x-ray machine in Oakland because
yeah, right.
It was broken?
Yeah, it's the old being attacked by an inanimate object or not having something working when you need it. Was the blocking sled functional? Why were quarterbacks going into the blocking sled? I know they brought in a new strength and conditioning team. That story hasn't been told yet. What was that all about? Let's have the quarterbacks line up and take their turn on a blocking sled in case there's ever a trick play. A little end around to Calvin Austin. We want our quarterbacks blocking. Who's told that story yet, Limits? Anybody?
Apparently not. But we are reaching the boiling point, Joe. Like, we're there.
Boiling point is good. We're getting there. You know how when you're waiting and you're in a hurry for pasta, and we eat a lot of pasta in our house, and it starts, those little bubbles start to rise to the top, and you find yourself staring at the pot of water waiting for it to boil? Those little bubbles are starting. It's not a full boil yet, but the bubbles are rising and they're multiplying. You've done that before.
Yes, rising to the top, of course.
Getting very impatient for a bowl of pasta. Why is this taking so long to boil? I've been there. In fact, I boiled pasta last night and I was in a hurry. We're getting there. And this could be the week that this thing boils over.
So you're telling me there's a quarterback controversy?
Well, there always has been. Hmm. You had people early on say, oh, what's the big deal? When Russ is healthy, he'll play. Oh, will he? Will he really? And if the controversy is the way that Donnie Football and Mulsey painted it early on, remember after week one, I think it was?
It was after week one. They said he was the starter.
There's no controversy here because Fields is the starter. I mean, by definition, then, you have a controversy on your hands, don't you? Wonder Twin?
Yeah, I mean, when Russell Wilson is pole position man,
And the other
guy
guy's
who's
playing.
Listed as QB1 in the depth chart, right. And the other guy's playing, and you say, well, that's the guy. That's the guy moving forward.
Have they released a depth chart today?
They have not. Do you know when the depth chart comes out, Joe?
Right before the news conference?
10 minutes before Mike Tomlin talks, typically at least.
So this is going to be juicy today. And if you think I'm looking forward to this, you're right. Yeah. This is fun. I've said all along this should be fun. It doesn't have to be this horrible thing. Oh, my God, a quarterback controversy. No, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Let's see how they handle it. And my question is for you, and I would really like to have a conversation with you about this. Has Justin Fields done enough for you to be the starting quarterback here, even if Russell Wilson is healthy? Are you willing to embrace Justin Fields right now as your starting quarterback? Yes or no? 412-928-9370. That's kind of like an old school Pete Rose talk radio topic. But you know what? Certain situations call for that, to simply open up the phone lines. And this is one. I mean, this is one. I was thinking about this morning. Limits that no matter what happened this year, we were going to have a quarterback controversy. We were going to have a quarterback competition, if that euphemism is preferable.
Did you say that Justin Fields would at one point start games for the Steelers? Because I remember that I did. I thought it'd be later on in the year than now.
Yeah, I mean, that question was out there from day one. I don't know that the Steelers knew that Fields would be available. Do they go out and get Russell Wilson if they knew they could get Fields? That's a legitimate question, right? But I was thinking last night, imagine if this was Rudolph and Pickett. And I think a lot of us thought that that would be exactly it after Mike Tomlin's season-ending news conference last year. It sure sounded like they wanted to sign Mason and would have Kenny in pole position, so to speak. That would have been pretty spicy as well. So no matter what we were doing, because the problem here is what Tomlin tried to pass off as normal at his season-ending news conference, which was, you want competition at all your positions, including quarterback, when we all know, and he knows, that it's the last position in sports that you want competition at. You want a defined starter who has no legitimate competition. You want Ben Roethlisberger for 15 years completely unchallenged. You want a star. You want zero competition at that position. But that's not where they're at, and that wasn't going to be where they're at no matter what. Rudolph Pickett would have been mighty spicy. Very interesting. They got rid of those two. All the old school Steeler reporters in town said, oh, there's no way they would bring in Russell Wilson. There's no way they would bring in Justin Fields. They brought in both. They brought in both. And the second they brought in both, and especially the second that the old blocking sled attacked Russell Wilson, we had a quarterback competition on our hands. At the very least, and this is the way I thought it was going in camp, Fields was moving up his timeline because of how he was performing in camp. The preseason games weren't great, but you could tell by the way Tomlin was talking about him, and plus all the reports we were getting from camp, that he was moving up his timeline in case Russ struggled. Some, I think it was Pelissero, left training camp believing, and I quote, that's more of a competition than people believe. I believed him. Good reporter. Must have been talking to people. And now look, Justin Fields has played 4 games. I think he's gotten progressively better. I thought the question going into week 4 was, could Justin Fields bring them from behind if they fell behind, especially by a lot? Could he get points in a hurry? Could he be that kind of guy? Or was he just this sort of system quarterback, Kenny Pickett part 2, that was doing what the Steelers asked and not turning the ball over and running an offense that was going to score 18 points at most. And maybe if they needed a big play late in a game, he could provide it. No, man, he looked great the other day to me. And I'm very aware that he made a couple of colossal mistakes that count, that were part of that loss. But if you're looking at the way he actually played and envisioning, hey, is this a guy that could bring us from behind if need be? Hell yes. He was unbelievable. What did he have total yards? 380, 370?
He threw for 312, and he was their leading rusher.
With 55 more. Yes. I don't know how to add that. It's like 370 with three touchdowns. Plus the Pickens fumble. Plus Tomlin, for some reason, passing up a long-range field goal from Boswell after the first series, when Boswell's the greatest long-range kicker in the history of football.
I
still don't know what happened. So they left about 10 points on the table. My opinion, and I wouldn't have said this going into the Chargers game. In fact, I wrote and said that week, Fields hasn't done enough yet for me if Wilson's healthy. Well, 2 weeks later, he has. If Russell Wilson is declared healthy today, Fields should be the starter. Are you out there willing to embrace Justin Fields as your starter no matter what going into this Cowboys game? That's a very simple question. 412-928-9370. I very much would like to speak to those who say yes and those who say, I'm not ready for that yet. Are you out of your mind? Limits, what say you? You ready to embrace him? Is it his job no matter what?
I've embraced him since before the start of the season, Joe. I've been saying he should be the guy from day one to begin with, but I was kind of blinded by thinking Russell Wilson was going to be the guy because that's what Mike Tomlin was saying, and it's the Steeler way to go with the veteran and the guy that they brought in first. And
What's the case against him?
The case against Justin Fields?
Yeah.
I don't think he should get a pass for that fumble at midfield. That was bad. That was bad. And the bad fumble exchanges that keep happening with him. Other than that, because I think game one against Atlanta was more so an unwillingness of Arthur Smith to open up the playbook
sure.
for him and let
yes.
him cook.
Yeah.
Those turnovers are the only thing. Like, will Russell Wilson protect the ball more? But I'm more convinced that Justin Fields, after seeing what we saw down 17 points and coming all the way back, and if that final drive didn't stall out with Najee not going out of bounds, the timeout, bad snap, whatever, I don't know if Russell Wilson brings his team back the way that Justin Fields did to potentially kick a field goal and tie that game.
Well, I think the best case for Russ is simply this. He's coming off what was actually a very good statistical year, and he was your guy, and he deserves his chance to show what he has, and you probably can't say with any certainty that he wouldn't be 3-1 too.
Well, why does he deserve it, though?
No, I'm playing devil's advocate, because he was your guy. You signed him to be the starter.
You signed him for a minimum contract after he was cut by Denver with $50 million on the books. How is he your guy? Nobody else wanted him.
They said he was their guy. Tomlin said he was their guy. That's why they signed him.
Then why'd they go out and get Justin Fields a week later?
To provide competition, and because Fields might be more of a long-term option. I'm not expressing an opinion here.
Yep.
I'm saying a fact. He was their guy. Tomlin said it before the opener, and devil's advocate here would say, you got to give this guy an opportunity. He would be 3-1 too. He would also be 3-1, and he might be better than Justin Fields right now. I don't know. That would be the case for Wilson. I'm not buying it. That's the key point of that little soliloquy. I'm not buying it. And I was a Russell Wilson guy, as you know.
Yeah.
I might have been first on the Russell Wilson bandwagon, much as I was first on the Trubisky bandwagon. And I don't know if you have that wonderful clip to bring us full circle here, Limits, but you must. And I urged in writing and on this show many times for them to bring in Russell Wilson. And by the way, I wouldn't trade him, because that topic is coming up today with the Dolphins' horrendous performance.
Woo-hoo! It's the Trubisky train!
There was no doubt about it.
You know what train you're on now, Joe?
Yes.
It's the Rudolph train.
There was no doubt about it.
Man, I jumped off the Rudolph train awfully fast.
Pretty quickly.
But he's back in the news after last night, right? Levis and Butthead left the game.
Yeah, we didn't get another Will Levis meme type moment of him doing something horrendously bad.
Let's talk about that coming up, whether you would trade Russell Wilson, because that topic is now on the front burner. I know the morning guys were talking about it. What would make you listen to a Russell Wilson trade? Because the Dolphins are just about done. That was an epic disaster.
Wasn't that game just so terrible to watch last night?
So bad. And it's impossible to imagine them coming close to a playoff spot in their current plight. Now, if you're them.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Limits and I watching Kyle Brandt on the Angry Run segment, which is great. He's great. And guess who got some love on this week? Mount Washington, for that leap on the sidelines in which he also had a stiff arm.
But I thought we were told he couldn't run routes. That was an athletic play. I know his route tree is limited.
He's a very lumbering player. But I would throw him jump balls and give him little passes like that, too. I don't think he's quick enough to get open a lot. But maybe he's one of those guys who's open when he isn't open. And once he gets the ball, he is very angry, which I love.
That was an athletic play, man. I was impressed.
That was fabulous. I didn't mention at the top that the Pirates have fired Andy Haynes and the bullpen coach. What's his name?
Justin Message. I'm 95% sure that's how you properly pronounce his last name.
Well, the message is here. We're scapegoating people. But Haynes had to go anyway. I mean, we'll see if they make any actual real moves. The fact that Haynes was still here was incrinculant, incredulous, incredible, and every other INC word you can think of. I mean, what are we doing? They haven't hit since the time he stepped on campus. They were one of the worst hitting teams in all of baseball, and now he's gone. It's just not even a big story. It's to be expected. That's just doing business. In a normal, insane way. And I couldn't care less about the bullpen coach. I wish him luck, and I'm sure they're scouring North America for the finest bullpen coach they can get, and I'm sure he'll really transform the bullpen, starting with David Bednar. I'm sure it was the bullpen coach's fault. Let's see if they make real moves. But back to Justin Fields. Are you willing at this point to embrace him as the starter, no matter the state of Russell Wilson? Schefter says his info tells him this was going to be the week. I don't know if it still is, that Wilson would be healthy for the Cowboys game, which really makes Mike Tomlin's news conference today a must listen. We'll have it at noon. And it's a very simple question. 412-928-9370. Might have a couple people who want to weigh in on the passing of Pete Rose as well. Limits, let's go to the phone lines. Shall we?
Let's begin with Dave in the car. Wants to talk Justin Fields.
What's up, Dave?
Yeah, guys, I'm 1,000% for Fields. The conversation shouldn't even be whether Wilson should be starting. It should be how long are we going to sign him to a team-friendly contract now? Because if you wait too long, you're going to have to pay this guy market value, $40, $50 million a year. So I'd say sign him now. Trade Wilson for the fourth you're going to have to give up for Fields if someone would be willing to give it to you. But Wilson's garbage, so...
Hold on a second. Are you still there? I don't want you to get distracted while you're driving. Couple things you said. Well, why is Wilson garbage? How do you know? He had a good year in Denver. 26 touchdowns, 8 picks.
I watched a lot. Sean Payton's paying him $40 million to play against him, to quote Moneyball. Russell Wilson 2 years ago was historically bad. And last year he had 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and it was a bad stats lie. He was terrible.
I just simply disagree. He beat five playoff teams in a row, and I watched him play in Buffalo, and he was very good. Sean Payton drafted Bo Nix, and Bo Nix had minus yardage in the first half the other day. But that's beside the point. The other thing is...
1,000%, not close.
What?
It's not even close between Fields and Wilson.
Okay.
Not even close.
I appreciate the thoughts. There's a very passionate man, Dave, in the car. That it's not even close. I don't know how you can call Russell Wilson garbage at this point. But I do agree with his larger point, which is it should be Fields moving forward. And then the question becomes, what do you do with Wilson? And I got that question a lot today. I think it's become hotter after we all watched the Dolphins last night. And if I'm the Dolphins, I can see the wheels coming off here. I can. I mean, I'm not the only one. Do you tank if you're Miami? And then if you're the Steelers, do you start to focus in on a little Jalen Waddle here and maybe even a Tyreek Hill there?
Yeah, you really think, Joe, there's any possibility that Miami would take Russell Wilson for Jalen Waddle?
No.
Are you talking about a
separate
deal?
Okay. Obviously. Limits. I'm not talking about Russell Wilson for Tyreek Hill.
Well, some people were talking about Russell Wilson for Jalen Waddle a couple weeks ago.
Separate topic. What if the Dolphins tank? Who might be available? And is tanking their best option? Because they're going nowhere. And who knows about the future of Tua right now? They may need a quarterback. They look very capable. Have they won one game? They're 1-3, I think.
Yeah, it was the first game of the year against Jacksonville.
They look capable of 2-15 to me at this point. If Tua doesn't come back, and even if he does, it just feels like it's completely like touch and go with him. Tenuous, very tenuous with him.
How about the offensive genius, Mike McDaniel in Miami? Their offense the last couple of weeks has looked like sour grapes. Horrible.
Who?
Mike McDaniel, Miami, their offense?
Yeah, yeah.
They're running end-arounds with Tyreek Hill. That's their best play.
Like, the bloom has worn off the boy wonder. That's quite clear right now. So, yeah, two separate topics. Do they want Russell Wilson, and would you listen? Okay, let's deal with that one first. I'd listen to anything. And if you got up around a third or even a second-round pick, second or even a third, I might have to, but I don't think you're going to get that. I don't think you're going to get that. But if the question is, would I listen on Russ? Sure. In the meantime, I like having two quarterbacks. I think that's an advantage. We see teams dip into their depth every year at that position. Three of the four AFC North starters were hurt last year. Three of the four. The way this offensive line is right now, Justin Fields is going to have a hell of a time surviving without injury. Took four sacks and got hit 9 times the other day. So I think you're going to need two quarterbacks, and no offense to the great Kyle Allen, but I'm not all that confident in what he can do. So if I'm the Steelers, I probably hang on to Russell Wilson unless somebody gives me a ridiculous offer, and then I kind of have to take it. You?
If they're giving up a second-round pick, though, Joe,
yeah,
and this is a Miami team where they're down in the dumps and not looking good, and their record, let's say they get Russell Wilson and they finish maybe 9-8, that's still a pretty good second-round draft pick. It's not like you're trading him to the Kansas City Chiefs or San Francisco where their draft pick's going to be at the very end of the second round.
I'd be enticed. I'm not sure that the Dolphins would do that. I think that the Dolphins' best move now is to tank, and nobody tanks like Dolphins. Right, Horse?
In their own tank.
Remember the dolphin in Ace Ventura, Pet
yes.
Detective, how that was a subplot through the whole thing?
Wasn't the dolphin stolen?
I think it was stolen.
Yes.
And every time I look at you, and you should tweet out a photo of yourself right now, you look
like... It's not like there's not a picture of me in my Twitter bio right now.
You look like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can picture you driving in that car. Remember the windshield was blown out, so he would look out
yes.
the side of the car.
I love that movie. I watched it for the first time a couple years ago.
It's incredible. Even if Tua comes back, it's too uncertain, and it's a horrible situation with him. I think their best bet is to tank and try to get a quarterback. Because as I said, they look eminently capable of 1-16 or 2-15. They really do. And in that case, we all know that tanking involves trading good players. What if Waddle or Hill became available? Again, separately from any Russell Wilson talk. What if they did? Limits. Tyreek Hill signed a 3-year, $90 million contract with the Dolphins. That's the same money the Steelers were willing to pay Brandon Ayuk. Can you imagine if that happened?
If you're Miami and you're trading one of Waddle or Hill, you're punting on the next. You're punting on 25 as well, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what tanking does. You punt on the season.
And you're basically going to fire the coach. So that would take a significant commitment from who Stephen Ross and that ownership group and just everyone in Miami.
Let's start here. What would you do right now if you were the Dolphins?
If I were the Dolphins...
Try to salvage a mediocre season with Russell Wilson? I wouldn't.
I would get Tua healthy over the next 2 weeks. You don't have a quarterback. You do not have a competent guy right now.
Do you have one with Tua? You'd feel confident moving forward with Tua?
Well, me personally, no. I don't like Tua. I have never been the biggest Tua fan since he was drafted. Always liked the guys that were picked ahead of him beforehand. I mean, when you have Herbert and Joe Burrow ahead of you, I mean, there's a reason why Tua went third in that draft class despite the whole tank for Tua notion. Like,
I mean, he did also lead the NFL in pass yards last season.
Yeah,
the
he's playing in warm weather Miami and beat Denver both 70 points last year as well. I mean, that's a high-flying offense against the opponents that they were playing.
So you're making the argument that even when he's healthy, you would move on from him.
I would, yes. I don't think they should have gave him, $50 million in the offseason? I just don't think he's that consistent or good.
To me, that's irrelevant at this point. The question is, he's had this horrendous concussion history, and all you'd be doing is fearing the next big hit, and what do you do with your franchise quarterback then? If I'm the Dolphins, sadly, I would be tanking right now and looking for my next quarterback. And that may create a situation. Jalen Waddle signed a 3-year, $84.7 million extension that runs through 27. That's incredibly affordable. I mean, it's not that much cheaper. It's about, $5.5 million cheaper than Tyreek Hill. Point is, one of these guys could become available. That's not an unrealistic scenario. And I'd be all over that if I were the Steelers.
I think you're right. Especially Waddle's contract status. Didn't they just pay him?
I think I just said out loud, Limits, that he signed a 3-year, $84.7 million extension.
Oh, I heard that was 3 years, 90, what you said for Tyreek Hill. Okay. I got those two mixed up and confused.
Something has happened to you today because you told me a story during the last break that I've never been so lost in a story. Are you medicated today?
No.
You have to admit the story that you told me.
Okay, so the story that I told you during the break.
Nobody wants to hear it.
No,
it went on forever. And there was no point, which is endearing in a way.
No, there was a point. We went over the point.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, we got to the point. Listen, I have days like this too, and I apologize. The point is that Hill or Waddle could be available.
Other than that story, I think I've pretty much been on my game today.
You have. I would agree with you.
I'm throwing three hits, one run game over five innings, I think, right now.
Let's go to another call on Fields.
Because after we go to another call, we have a special guest coming up at 11.
Holy horse milk.
I just heard back from special guest.
Regarding what topic?
Regarding a historical landmark 11 years ago today.
Then let's hit a call on Fields.
Let's go over to Mark in the car.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Mark.
Hello?
Hey, Mark, you're on.
Oh, hi. I think that going into the season, I believe that starting Russell Wilson would be more beneficial for Justin Fields to play behind for the first time in his career to kind of learn from Russell Wilson. and kind of take the year off and the next following year start. So, but since he's had a start this season, he's gotten exponentially better each week. So it's a tough decision, but I think I'll just keep Justin Fields in just because he keeps getting better week to week.
Me too. Especially coming off this week. And again, I think we both acknowledge he made not just, he didn't have just have a couple of mistakes. He had a couple of huge game-changing mistakes. But overall, if my question, and I appreciate the call going into the game, was, hey, man, what if the Steelers fall behind by a lot? Is Justin Fields, can he step out of being this very careful, systematic quarterback? Which he kind of did, it, by the way, against the Chargers. As we've been over many times, they gave him the ball in that game. They passed more than they ran in that game, and he won it for them. But the next step was, okay, what if he's in a big deficit situation? Even though they didn't win, I thought he answered that. If the question was, can Justin Fields bring you back in a hurry and move up and down the field when needed, the answer was yes. So I don't think it's actually a tough decision. I am fascinated with this Tomlin news conference at noon. And again, it could just be status quo with Russ. We'll let his participation and the quality of that participation be our guide. I get it. It could certainly be that.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.